Welcome to the Ladies of Metal Show, featuring interviews with metal bands, where we keep you up to date with everything surrounding the metal, underground, and alternative community. This is the Ladies of Metal Show.
This is the Ladies of Metal Show. Welcome back. I'm Carly Gwen, aka Gwen Anastasia. If you don't already, make sure you follow us on Instagram. Just search the Ladies of Metal Show. I post info for all the new episodes along with metal and hardcore music news and new bands that I'm checking out, so lots of good stuff over there. You can find all the streaming links for past episodes at the link in the Instagram bio as well. There's also merch links for t-shirts, phone cases, masks, pins, a bunch of cool designs, and you'll find the donate button at the link in the bio too, in case you want to support the show. That would rule. Always much appreciated. So today's episode features Hans Hesberg from a band called Dragged Under. They wrapped up a huge tour with The Used in February, so if you went to that tour, you got to see them. They're like a gnarly Taking Back Sunday, so we talked a little bit about their sound in our chat. I had to check, but they do have over 43,000 followers on Instagram, so they're not like a small band. But we also get into how the band became Dragged Under after originally operating under the name Rest Repose. Ex Jared Dines, by the way, he was in that band. If you look him up on YouTube, you'll definitely recognize him for all his funny videos about the heavy music scene. We also had a very similar experience with playing music in school, and you might, hopefully, be able to see the band live later this summer. Hans Hesberg, Dragged Under. It's the Ladies of Metal Show.
Domino's, this is Brian.
Hello. How's it going?
What's going on? So where are you? Where are you calling from?
Right outside of Philly.
Oh, right on, cool.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks again for having me.
Of course. Yeah, I was like thinking of asking you like right after I saw you guys in Philly with The Used, because I had never heard of your band before. I had never seen you guys, and when you guys were opening for The Used, I was like, yo, this band rules.
Thank you so much for saying that. Jeez.
Yeah, of course. Also, I thought it was kind of funny, like, because I think I was over on your side of the stage, like, I was standing kind of near where you were set up, and
okay.
I was at the show with my boyfriend, and you guys look a lot alike. Which is so funny. I was like, oh my god, that's so creepy. And I think I even like took a picture and tagged you both in it or something, and I was like, oh my god, twins or something.
Wait, what's your boyfriend's name? I think we all had a laugh about this. I was called like a discount somebody.
A discount? Oh my god.
I think you called me your like discount boyfriend.
Dude, I probably did. I usually say like, I don't even know, like backup or something. Yeah, so his name's Corey.
Funny like that, yeah.
His name's Corey.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Corey, it's... guess what it was? Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was you. That's hilarious.
It's so funny. Like, you guys have the same, like, facial hair and the long brown hair. It's like, it was so creepy. I was like, how is this possible?
Compliment taken. I'm sure he's a babe.
He is a babe. Yeah. So that was so funny. And it just made the whole show, like, that much more fun.
That's so funny.
Yes. So I thought you guys were so like catchy, and even like some parts kind of reminded me of like Taking Back Sunday, which is like one of my favorite bands.
Thank you. Never heard that one, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
I get a big Taking Back Sunday catch.
It's like I think more so in like the singing a little bit sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Probably not melodically for sure, but yeah, I could see that in singing, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out like how I would describe you guys to someone that never heard you before, and it's like a hardcore Taking Back Sunday or something like that. Like,
whoa, never heard that. That's awesome.
Yeah, because like I love hardcore so much, and I listen to a lot of metal, obviously, but like the, you know, the emo bands like The Used and like Taking Back Sunday, you know, The Starting Line, all Senses Fail, all those bands are just like such, like still a big part of me and like what I listen to on a daily basis.
Okay.
So that's why I really.
Me too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I question like, what's wrong with me? Am I still like a fucking like 17-year-old kid? Yeah, like this 33-year-old vessel. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll just turn my music up. Like, I guess so.
Dude, literally, whatever. Like,
I'm comfortable with myself.
I think that's it. It's like, who cares? I feel like I still listen to Brand New, like, all the time.
Nice.
Trying to, like, think of other bands, like, I don't even know. Of course, like, My Chemical Romance and stuff. So, yeah, I feel like it's fine.
Do you listen to Senseless Dale Show?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, me too.
They're so good.
Lots.
They're an OG for me.
So a gnarly Taking Back Sunday. That's cool.
Yeah.
I've never heard that. Also, hey, if you're into hardcore music, you need to listen to, if you don't already, to Bleed From Within. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I don't listen to them, but I will look them up. That's so cool.
Yeah.
They're all right.
Rad. Yeah, the track End of All We Know is pretty rad. Actually, Tony, our singer, turned me on to them. They're really cool.
Awesome. Are they on that Spotify?
Hell yeah. Yeah, they're big. They're big dudes.
Cool.
In the hardcore world, I guess.
All right. I'm excited. I'm always trying to, like, sniff out new music, so.
Yes, cool. Yeah, same. So if you ever want to send me tunes, I will never turn that away. New music is like a new little drug every time. It's like a new little hit, you know?
Yeah, dude, it totally is.
Kind of a weird analogy, but.
Well, yeah, you got to, you know, crack is whack, but new songs are awesome. So.
Crack is totally whack.
Yes. So. I think The Used and, like, the show that I saw you guys at was the last show I saw before quarantine. Did you guys ever get to finish that tour?
We did, just in the nick of time.
Okay, awesome.
Man, we got home, like, we had our last show in, where is it? It might have been Scottsdale, I think, Arizona. Mm-hmm. We just booked it home after that. I think we got home, like, the 29th of February. And so, like, just, like, days before shit started to go, like, absolutely sideways. So we got to do the whole dang thing before the world turned into, like, a really odd, particularly odd place.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering if you guys had to, like, cut off any weeks at the end or something, but that's great you got to finish it. And then how was it?
Very fortunate.
Yes, because so many bands had, I don't know, I've talked to people that, like, ordered, you know, thousands of dollars in merch and then had to cancel before they even left for tour.
Oh,
like, ugh. The worst.
That's so fucked up. That's so fucked up, man.
But I guess on a more positive note, how was it touring with a band as legendary as The Used?
Oh, man. Fucking absolutely surreal, day-to-day and unreal. Yeah. It was, for lack of a better term, like a cooler term, it was completely fucking, like, surreal. Cognitive dissonance every day where you'd walk up. But I guess, yeah, that was the weird experience was that it felt very, like, dissociated sometimes. I'm like, who's fucking, like, movie am I watching right now, you know?
Oh, my God.
So we never stepped into that place of complacency. Like, oh, yeah, it's all good. We're on tour. It's, like, these legendary, like, sweethearts. And they were they're such nice dudes. Yeah, just a waking dream, honestly. And to have them, like, they shouted us out, like, towards the end of the tour, too, which we're, like, we never expected them to. When we did, we all just turned into, like, 13-year-old little boys, like, ah! You know, holy shit, they just, like, shouted us out, and I think they first did it at, in Austin. But that was very, like, very fucking humbling, like, okay. If I died, like, next week, it'd be cool, because, like, I think I just peaked, you know?
Yeah, like how do you even top that? Yeah. That's insane.
No, we all laughed about that kind of on tour. We're like, hey, so how do you guys feel about having our first major national tour as a band be the best one you'll ever do? And I was like, yeah, I'm cool with it. Whatever. we'll figure it out.
It's really just, like, a down slope from here. It's fine.
All downhill, dude. Completely fucking downhill.
Yep.
Everything will be subpar. No, it's, nothing will touch that. And they were just not only legends because of their, you know, their place and role in the music industry and music is, like, just, and defining a genre in and of themselves, but, man, they were just such rad, down-to-earth, silly, like, dudes. Just regular dudes, you know? I think a lot of that gets lost in the hype of something like a band that's really good or really prominent and successful. Like, they're probably, like, really humble, chill guys, you know? And that is a saving grace for me, particularly right now because the world is so fucking weird and, like, kind of dark. Like, just knowing that a lot of, like, people's heroes are actually really endearing, good human beings, you know?
Right.
Anyway, sorry for that rant, but no. I just had to put that out there that they're just such fucking cool guys.
Yeah,
we're so
no.
Fortunate that they were so welcoming to us.
That's so great to hear. Maybe because Bert has had more of, like, a storied past, we'll say.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah.
You know, you never know if he's, like, you know, living that rock star life, or like he's just kind of aloof. But he, I don't know, he seems like, in interviews that I've watched online, he just seems like so sweet and nice. So glad to hear the guys were awesome.
Just so kind to us, yeah.
That's so great.
Thanks for asking too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. I was reading, I was doing some like deep diving online about you guys, and I found something that I didn't know. Yeah, no, it's nothing bad. It's nothing bad. Just that you guys had been under like a different name, like a different project before you were dragged under.
Yeah, before I joined the group. That's kind of how I know these dudes. It was a couple years ago. The band was called Rest Repose. It had Jared Dines as the drummer. But yeah, they're Rest Repose, kind of like a alt rock, kind of hard rock band. And I think it was like summer of 2017. They were on tour in the West Coast, and I was chatting with Tony, like just kind of getting to know him a few months beforehand. And he reached out to me and said, "Hey, can you fly out?" And so I was engaged at the time, and I was talking to my fiance about it, and weighing the options. And we're both kind of like, "Man, don't know any of the songs." Like, I'm a quick learner musically, and I was like, "Maybe I can learn them on the plane." And I called him and said, "You know, if you need me, let me know." And then he's like, "All right, we're gonna think about it." And then next call I get back from him is, or text is like, "Yo, I'm just gonna cover tonight. Think about it, I'll get a hold of you tomorrow." And we convened the next day, and I saw some footage for the show, but he just like filled in on vocals, and he just like dominated, and everybody in the crowd was like, "What the fuck?" The bass player is like, got hella pipe. So, he called me, he's like, "Hey man, I think I'm just gonna keep singing." I was like, "Yeah, you definitely should, like that's fucking mental." Like he screams like a goddamn, like a banshee. He's got a extremely versatile and dynamic voice. Like you heard him. Like that's how he sounded when he just covered for him. Isn't that fucking wild?
Wow.
Anyway, long story short, that band kind of dissolved and didn't want to tour anymore. Like certain members didn't really want to tour, I guess, which is totally cool and understandable. It doesn't become sustainable after a while.
Yeah.
So they're like, "Shit." Tony and Fluff said they wanted to continue the project. So yeah, they started writing new music for it. Some old ideas they had, which kind of turned into some new Dragged Under ideas that were, you know, on the album. And I think how it went was Fluff showed Joey Bradford, our manager and guitar player for the Used, a couple of these songs, and Joey was like, "Whoa, what the fuck is this shit? Like, that's really rad." Fluff was like, "Sick. Well, Joey thinks it's rad, so it's rad." And I think Bert was the one who said, "That's cool music, but that name is horrible. Like, you can't call it Rest Repose. You know, you gotta change the name." And I can't exactly recall, honestly, where Dragged Under came from. I think Tony said it might have been an old project him and this guy Austin Dickey used to have.
Okay.
Kind of resurrected that name from something. But, yeah, it totally fits the genre archetype, I think. I think it's absolutely fitting.
It is.
But, that's the long and short of, like, how the band kind of had its genesis.
That's amazing. So, actually, like, the Used is a little bit responsible for, like, part of how you guys came to be?
Dude, kind of. As far as, like, the name rebranding, I mean, they didn't pick the name, but they were, yeah. So they were kind of like,
wow.
Yeah. Joey thought the music was pretty rad, and which was a huge compliment to all the dudes. Like, that in and of itself is pretty neat, I think.
Yeah, like, what a compliment. Jeez. So I definitely want to talk about this. The World Is In Your Way came out January 17th. Good timing, but, like, you know, just a couple months before, like, everything shut down, so that was lucky. And I saw you guys released that one by yourselves?
We did, yeah. Yeah, this is before we signed on with Mascot. It was just completely independent.
Which is, like, kind of amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Like, the first time I heard the record, I was like, damn, this sounds, like, really good. And then I saw... later I was like kind of doing some research and I was like, wait, what? Like, they put this out themselves. It's so cool. So it's kind of like,
thank you so much.
Yeah. That's like, I don't know, like quintessential punk ethos right there. I feel like, so that's awesome.
For sure.
So
yeah, thank you.
Of course.
It's a thing.
So tell us about Mascot.
Yeah. They're a quaint little, record label, which is why we're interested in their interest. There was kind of like a bidding war going on while we were on tour. It was really exciting, to be honest, between a few labels. I can't remember if it was Fearless or Hopeless and Mascot.
Oh, wow.
Talking with one another. Yeah, Mascot's a small, quaint, rad label, and that was like perked our ears up like a label that is more intimate is going to advocate for and work, you know, harder for their talent, you know, like who they're partnering with. And that's a big thing. That's kind of like the biggest thing for us.
No, that seems important, especially coming from like a fresh indie release. Like, if you guys enjoyed that process, this is probably the closest thing with just like a little bit more help.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's easy, and it's not easy, but it's sustainable to be independent these days, to work and advocate for yourself. But having that bigger kind of advantageous reach of a label is big for placement for tours and festivals and stuff, which we're definitely looking to do for a long, long time. Just touring the living hell out of this album and the next one. And just kind of trying to make a name for ourselves in a really big and like widening industry, you know?
Well, yeah, especially with so many new bands, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But is Mascot, are they based in London, or do they also have, like, an office in New York?
Yeah, they're over the pond, across the pond, if you will, yeah.
Well, that could be really good for when you have to do, like, European touring.
That's the secret. Right? Yeah, we really want to be in Europe a lot to kind of broaden out, not just be secular to the motherland here, but, yeah. Europe is rad, and Europeans are notorious for their insatiable thirst for fucking hard rock. You know, it's crazy.
It does seem that way, which I think is so interesting, because there is a good amount of, like, metal bands that I listen to that come out of, like, the England area,
yeah.
I would say. But it's crazy that so many, like, pop punk bands do so well over there.
Oh, I know.
It's crazy. So, yeah, that'd be metal so cool. Too. For you guys to do tours over there, like, regularly. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's a big dream. I went to Europe a couple times in high school for choir and stuff. I loved singing in chorus and stuff in high school. We won a competition once when I was in, I think I was a senior.
Wow.
We got to tour around, like, Prague, Czech Republic. Prague is in Czech Republic. Germany, Austria. It was really rad, just seeing, like, old cathedrals and monasteries and stuff. It was fucking epic, and definitely, like, helped hone, like, all right, this is where music can take you, man. Like, follow it, you know?
That's actually really funny. I did something very similar to that, but I wasn't in chorus.
What?
I was in band. So I played,
what'd you play?
I played the flute, okay?
Yes!
Yes.
Hell yeah. Also, for people who are listening to this, flute is fucking wicked hard. Like... I can play a lot of instruments. I tried to play the flute a couple times, and I was like, I'm gonna snap this thing over my knee. It's so hard.
It's just like so many keys, and I feel like my middle fingers are permanently, like, I don't know, they're like warped from like trying to reach certain keys, so they, like, are bent in a weird way. But I loved being in band, and my school didn't really have like the whole like band nerd kind of like stereotype. Like, there was like football players in band, so I don't know. So I went to like 5 countries in Europe over the summer of like between sophomore and junior year. It was so cool. We played like Lord of the Rings soundtrack and like Harry Potter.
What?
And like all this cool stuff.
That
yeah
is so sick.
Yeah,
that is so sick.
So it sounds like a lot like what you were doing, but in chorus. That's awesome.
Are you nerd baiting me? You're nerd baiting me.
No.
I know it.
We're having like a nerd off.
Because I think that's the fucking coolest. Like, I'm really into that. Playing scores from like prominent movies, like playing in the fucking like symphony in the middle of, you know what I mean? Like in the middle of a really cool score is rad. Like physically playing and being part of the school. We did that in college. My symphony conductor was really rad. We'd end every quarter with playing Star Wars themes from John Williams, and he would fucking direct with like this big lightsaber. Like, he was, you know.
Well, you have to at that point.
Lightsaber. So cool. Yeah.
That was always like a backup plan for me, like career wise. I was like, I either want to be in like a studio, kind of like be a studio musician or write scores or something like that. I thought that would be so cool.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right? So you're basically, like, you're, like, classically trained?
Yeah, I went to college for upright bass performance and music theory. So I got my degree in bass, classical bass. I mean, I started taking bass when I was in fourth grade. It's funny, I was just on a podcast earlier this last weekend telling this exact same thing, and I haven't talked about it in a while. I remember in fourth grade, This is when I got stoked on music. I was completely hyped from fourth grade on. The high school symphony came in with a quartet. They had like a violin, viola, cello, and bass, and they played like a bunch of things from one of Bach's suites. And I was, my jaw was like on the floor. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What is this stuff? What are you guys doing? Like, what is that thing? And what is that really big thing, you know? And so I started immediately enrolled in orchestra and was just like enamored by, like, you take fucking horsehair and you drag it with some like resin across a string and it makes it this cool sound, you know?
Yeah, it's like the coolest thing.
That's the string, that's the guitar, that's fucking, it's mental.
Yeah.
And then from then on, I was just really stoked. And, my parents gave me jazz and blues lessons on the bass too, and just kind of took off from there and started playing in bands. And I was like, man, this is really, really what I want to do, you know? And then flash forward about, 26 years. What's up?
And now you're like, you just did a tour with The Used. Like, no big deal. It's fine.
Oh, man. That's still going to be up there. I'm so grateful. Carly, I can't even tell you. That's
yeah.
Still very, like, reeling from that. We all kind of are.
Yeah, I bet. And then to go from something so crazy and then, like, you just have to sit in your house for, like, 3 months. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. We're all trying to keep each other. We have, like, a ongoing band chat where we, you know, orchestrate what we're going to do for photo shoots or label or whatever we want to do.
Right.
But we also just bullshit and kind of catch up a lot in there. And we keep each other positive. Like, it sucks. It's absolutely, like, the fucking worst timing ever for anybody who is a career musician or in the music industry. But things could be a lot worse. All things considered, it's not that bad. We're just like, all right, let's just remain, you know, grateful and fucking wait it out. Don't know what else to do. It's weird times.
Yeah, honestly. And there's no, like, precedent. So I feel like a lot of bands are just like, I guess we'll just wait. I don't know.
Could be worse.
It could be. I mean, everybody's, you know, trying to be safe. So that's good. But I did see.
Yeah, how was it over in Philly? Are things pretty locked down and wildly dystopian or what?
Well, I think personally, well, they are opening things like I think maybe too quickly. They're getting to the green phase. So like tattoo shops are open and like hair salons and nail salons, and they're just about to open like, indoor dining, but at like 50%, which I think is kind of scary. I don't know. Like outdoor dining is maybe better, but I just am like paranoid because I don't want to be like sick all summer, you know? So.
Hell yeah. I feel you. That's wild. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were going to ask me something.
Oh, no, that's okay. No, just as far as like what the band is up to while you guys have been like kind of stuck at home, I saw you released a video for your track called Chelsea.
We did, yeah. Yeah, we've been sitting on that since tour. Isn't that a fun one?
That is!
Yeah, I love, like, candid reels of bands. I think they're so freaking fun. And just, like an honest insight as to, like, how, like, weird and goofy people are, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think that's so, like, endearing. So.
Yeah, it is. Rather than, like, contrived, like, I mean, it's cool to have, like, a laid-out script for a music video, that's fine, but nothing beats, like, just fucking filming people being dorks.
Right. You know, like, it's so relatable. Like,
yeah.
I think I remember Tony mentioning at the show that I saw you guys at in Philly that he wrote this song for his girlfriend, maybe, or unless I made that up.
For his fiance, yep.
Okay.
Yep, he did. He wrote it for his fiance, Chelsea, yep.
When he mentioned that at the show, I was like, oh my God, which is like a reaction that I never thought I would say at like a punky, you know, hardcore emo show, but like I was like, that was so cute.
Yeah, the first time he said that we're on tour, like he started opening Chelsea with that, like, this is a song goes out, you know, love my life, Chelsea, and like the crowd's reaction was that, like, oh
yeah,
like, we're all like, holy fuck, that really resonated with people, right on. Well, you know, cool.
Well, yeah, I think it's probably because like people that go to those kind of shows all the time, you know, we're just kind of like, not all angry, but we just have like gripes and, you know, troubles with things. So it's nice to be like, oh my God, somebody's in love.
Yeah.
That's so
love
nice.
Real, y'all. Yeah, exactly.
So that was really sweet. And on top of that, it's a great song. So,
thank you so much.
Yeah. So I was really stoked that you guys picked that for the music video.
Yeah, Justin, our tour manager, filmed that whole damn thing on tour, and yeah, he's just the coolest guy. You guys will follow Justin Ichikawa on Instagram, or he's got a big YouTube following, too. He's a sensei. He's a fucking martial arts freaking master down in Thousand Oaks, California.
What?
Yeah, it's rad. Dude does everything, and he fixes up cars, and he's just, like, also the sweetest dude on the planet. Pretty sure he's single, too. So
oh, shoot. Hey, ladies. I'll grab his link from you for his Instagram, and then we can, like, you know, promote him / stalk him.
Yeah,
you
100%. Know? He would like that.
Yeah, cool. All right, awesome. And then did you want to do any other shout-outs for, like, your social media or, like, how we can keep up with the band?
I want to shout-out Hair Metal X.
That's me. What's up, y'all?
Yeah. Ooh, I'll plug myself. I am a private music teacher. What's up? Hit me up for any instrument you want to play or sing. Yay!
Oh, that's so cool. Look at that. Can people just, like, DM you?
100%, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
I've been doing that for about 5 years, and it kind of blew up. Thanks to Fluff, actually, our guitar player. He, like, I think just unknowingly plugged me on one of his frequently asked question Mondays, like, 2 months ago, like, when quarantine, like, really hit. And I just, like, got so much business because of him. Like, freaking first time I've ever had international students. Like,
wow.
Vocal and Sweden, and yeah, I'm very grateful. But I'm always looking to take on more studes, so
studes.
Hit me up, airwave people. Yeah, studes.
That's so fun. Okay, awesome. Well, I'll have all your links below the episode also, so people can check you guys out.
Right on. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. And thanks again for hopping on the show. And I don't know. I don't know when live shows are going to come back, but hopefully you guys will be around in Philly very soon.
Well, we've got a... tentatively, like, knock on wood, August 15th, we're playing a festival with Beartooth.
What?
Eden Prairie? Yeah. Hopefully it's still going down.
Well, that'll be outside, right? So, probably.
Yeah. You can, it's called Rock the Meadow, I'm pretty sure. If you want to Google that, check that out. That should have all the details and stuff, but, who knows? Who knows if it's going to be a thing still? We'll see. Really hoping it is. That would be a huge bummer, but I don't have, like, all my stock in it just because things are still kind of, you know, in that gestation period.
Well, yeah, and we don't know if, like, the summer is going to bring on, like, a second wave of scariness, so we'll see.
I know. But anyway, yeah, hoping that goes down, but if not, you know, stay tuned. We'll be out there sometime.
All right, cool. I hope so. Well, thank you again.
Well, hey, thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. Sincerely, you're a blast to talk to, and I'd love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, we'll have you on again, like, maybe later in the summer to promote that festival if it's going down.
Beautiful. Yeah, we'll be in touch then. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Heck yeah, likewise. All right, talk to you soon then. Thanks, Charlie.
You just heard another episode of the Ladies of Metal Show. Subscribe to our channel so you never miss an episode. Need more metal in your life? Listen to Ladies of Metal Radio on the TuneIn Radio app. This is the Ladies of Metal Show.